We're now going to read from the book of Isaiah, starting at verse 2, and then going to verse 6 and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And now to verse 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I'm now going to pray for the word to go forth and be received well by us. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us. We know from Isaiah that your word does not return to you void, but accomplishes exactly what you intend. We know also that Jesus is the Word, and that he accomplished his mission on earth, that the work of salvation has been done for all your elect, Lord. So we ask now that as the word is preached, it will go forth for salvation and be effective in our hearts. We pray that it would be preached with clarity and that we would listen. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, everyone, it's been great to get this far in our service, having sung so many of these carols. I have to say, I really love Christmas carols. And it's wonderful that we can sing, and I hope in the homes that you all are, whether that is you together with one or two, or if you're being hosted by someone from the church here, you've been able to sing along together. Appreciate everybody who has taken part and helped us to consider the Christmas story and the Christmas message. Particular well done to all the parents. As a parent myself, although it was my wife who took control of that, I believe we sent 12 videos for about the 5 seconds of footage. And I believe it took my wife somewhere between 30 minutes to an hour to get those 5 seconds worth of videos. So well done everyone there, because that's not easy, but it's wonderful. Telling us a story of Christmas and all that took place. And as I share, I'm not going to be able to cover everything that took place at that time. I think the story is really very well known. But I want to try and pick up particularly, I suppose, on the significance of it. The why, the purpose of Jesus coming to earth. Because that's what we remember at Christmas, that Jesus came to earth. There's a word which we use, which is Emmanuel, God with us. So we remember Jesus came at Christmas time, but Jesus is God himself. So why is it then that God himself came to earth? Now, I imagine that most of you will know the Christmas carol, O Holy Night. It's really quite a popular one. I reckon it's probably made most famous by Mariah Carey, who sings it quite beautifully, if not in a key higher than most of us could even dare to manage. But the carol itself was written in 1847, is based on a French poem written at the time. And for a 170-year-old song, there are a couple of lines in it which are incredibly apt for this particular Christmas season. The first verse says this: O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. I think our world is weary right now. Would you agree? COVID in particular has had its effect on our life and our work, our family and our relationships, and we have been left weary by it. You know, even as I started writing what I was going to share today, as I started writing just a few days ago, I was able then to write, COVID has left us weary, but we here in Australia, we're actually starting to come out of it. Flash forward to today, and I had to change that because, of course, all that we've experienced in these last couple of days mean, are we really out of it? When are we going to see the end? And once again, it comes back upon us and we feel weary of it. But, you know, so it's not just the coronavirus. I think this time of year, as we get towards the end of the year, so many say, oh, I'm just weary. I'm just a bit done. It's been a long year. School is finally over. College is university. Summer is here. And we say, I need a break. And you know what? Even if it wasn't for the coronavirus, even if it wasn't for the being the end of the year, I think we might all still be able to say our world is weary. People are burdened. You know, we struggle to see and accept so much of what takes place in the world. Violence and famine, crime and disease, poverty and sickness, corruption and waste, sadness and grief, destruction and death, loss and tragedy. We're weary with world leaders and governments. We're weary with people. Perhaps even weary with ourselves. And at all times in history and in every place, people struggle. They face difficulties they always have. And it makes us weary. And I think for many people, it causes us to ask, why? Why do we feel this way? And whether we acknowledge it or not, I think we long for something more, something better, something different. And we're restless. And so what's fascinating then is that this carol seems to suggest that even a weary world can rejoice and have hope at this time of year. Something happened at Christmas that we remember that thrills us, gives us hope, and gives us cause to rejoice. The carol is speaking of this first Christmas when Jesus was born. And as it says, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is the thrill of hope. He is what gives us cause to rejoice. He comes and he offers hope to the world. He offers hope to you. And so here's the first thing that we can see. With the coming of Jesus, hope has come. Now, it's important to understand what hope we are talking about when I say hope has come. You see, for centuries, the Jewish people had been waiting. God had promised a Messiah would come, that is, a Savior. And for many of the Jews, their hope lay in this Messiah coming to be their political and military king. So when Jesus comes and he's doing miracles of healing, raising the dead, feeding thousands of people from next to nothing, I think there was for many people a thrill of hope. In the book of John chapter 6, after Jesus had fed the 5,000 people there, they presumed that he was the Savior that the Old Testament of the Bible had prophesied that God had promised would come. And so the people there then, these 5,000 with Jesus, decided that they would like to make him king. But it says Jesus withdrew from them. He went away from them. You see, that wasn't why he came. Later in that same chapter, in John chapter 6, we read that many people who had been following him for some time no longer followed him. Because what they realized was that Jesus had not come to be the king that they hoped he would be, the king that they wanted him to be. He came to be so much more. They hoped for political and military victory and stability. And instead, Jesus came to bring victory over sin and death and to give life, true life now and for eternity, to everyone who would make him king of their lives. Hope had come. When Jesus came into the world, hope came, but it was not the hope that many people wanted or expected. And I think today too, many people begin a journey of faith with Jesus, and they begin in great hope. But sadly, many people leave him. And largely it's because they would say, well, Jesus hasn't given me what I hoped he would. He hasn't done for me the things I've asked him to do. So it's really important that we understand what hope it is Jesus brings. Let me first of all say what it isn't. You see, for everyone who receives Jesus as their Savior, who turn their lives around and choose to follow him, weariness from illness and sickness and disease may not fade. For those tired and weary from young children and babies, that is never going away. Weariness from your place of work, weariness from issues and troubles and suffering, that's not the hope Jesus came to give us right here and now. While he helps us better understand it and strengthens us through it, it's not the hope that he came to give. Jesus doesn't come to take away all our problems in this life. And this is not what we hope for. Or maybe it is, but actually it's not the hope Jesus comes and offers. The hope he brings is far greater. And so hope has come. Jesus has come. And the hope he gives is of peace. So here's the second thing we can see. With Jesus coming into the world, peace has come. The passage read to us earlier by Emily from the book of Luke is when Jesus had been born and the shepherds were there in the fields, and an angel comes and bursts onto the scene, as was wonderfully depicted by the children, and he says to the shepherd, "Do not fear, but I tell you that this day a Savior has been born. Jesus is Christ the Lord." And then this angel is joined by a whole host of other angels, and together they sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all men on whom his favor rests." The angels say that because Jesus has been born, peace has come. The other reading we had that Michael read for us was a prophecy from the book of Isaiah chapter 9, and there it foretells of the Savior, a Messiah, who is coming. And speaking there of Jesus, it says one of the things he will be known as, he will be called, that he will be coming to do, is that he will be the Prince of Peace. And so with Jesus coming into the world, there is hope of peace. But what peace? World peace? Peace between all people? The shepherds were afraid, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Jesus has been born and he's coming to give peace." So does it mean if we become Christians and we are united to Jesus, if we accept him as our Savior, that we are never going to worry about anything again because we'll have peace? Does it mean we'll never fear because we can be at peace? Well, no. Going back to our song, "O Holy Night," it actually tells us why a weary world can rejoice. It tells us what makes the world weary. It says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining." It is saying this. It is saying that the greatest need we have, what we should hope for more than anything else, what is going to give us cause to rejoice, is not that all our problems and sufferings and trials are dealt with. Nor is it that we will have peace with everybody we live with and where we live. Neither is it that we will never be worried or afraid. The greatest need we have, the greatest hope then, is to be at peace with God. You see, the things in this world that make us ache, all of our struggles and trials, the heartbreak and the grief, the sorrow and the loss, the rejection and the hurt, the confusion that we experience in this world, all comes through human beings. And the problem is that human beings have moved away from what God intended in the beginning and what he even still desires today. See, we were made to be like him and made to be with him forever. We were made to be at peace with God. That is, to be in a right relationship with God. But instead, human beings have sinned. That is, they have chosen themselves over God. They've chosen their own way of life. They trust their own wisdom on how to live in this world. They believe they can find purpose and joy in this world without God. Human beings say, I don't need God, don't want God. And as a result, the Bible tells us that we're cut off from God. The Bible says, actually, we are condemned because of our sin. Because we are not living to please God, but instead pleasing ourselves, we're not at peace with God. We're lost. We are enemies of God because we've sinned against him. You've got to understand, not being at peace with God is such a huge problem that God himself came from heaven to earth. God sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus. He himself came because there was no way to get right with God, no way to find true purpose in life, no way to find true joy, no way to live the way that God made you to live, no way to have your sins forgiven, and no way to get to heaven apart from being united with Jesus, apart from somehow being again at peace with God. That means taking Jesus as your Savior. Truly, what God does at Christmas time is good news of great joy for all the people. Because by sending Jesus, God has made a way for human beings once again to be at peace with him, now and always. But as the angel said, peace on earth among whom his favor rests. This peace is offered to all people, but it doesn't come to all people. Not everyone is at peace with God automatically. It comes to the people who come to Jesus. It comes to all human beings who acknowledge they have sinned against God, acknowledge they're not at peace with God, and it comes to those who believe that God sent Jesus so that if we believe in him, we can once again be at peace with him. That's the hope we have. Because hope has come, peace has come. We have hope that our sin can be forgiven, hope that we will be with God in heaven, hope that the restlessness and pain and struggle of this world will end because one day Jesus will come back and all of his children, all of those who are united with him, are going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. All trial and sorrow will fade. We will be with God forever. And so, because Jesus has come, there is hope. And that hope is of peace with God. And the result is joy. For everyone who comes to Jesus and receives the peace that only he offers, there is great joy. And so the final thing we can see is that because of Jesus coming into the world, joy has come. Looking again in the carol, I think it's an interesting use of the phrase, a thrill of hope. When I think of something being thrilling, I suppose I think of a kind of one-off experience. Or perhaps I'm thrilled every time I do something. People use the phrase, what a thrill. But it tends to be something short-lived or experienced for a moment. I was thinking of our family back in Scotland. Many years ago, we visited Canada and we went to the Niagara Falls. One of the things we did is we went on the Maid of the Mist, which is a boat which goes as close as you can to the bottom of the falls. And when you come off, you would say, what a thrill. It was exciting. It felt a little bit dangerous. It was amazing and wonderful to see all that we could see. But it was a one-off experience. Some people would say a particular sporting match was thrilling, or what a thrilling end to the game. But it makes me think that a thrill is a kind of short-lived thing. But Jesus comes, and the hope he brings is not short-term or one-off. The peace he brings is not short-term or a one-off. The same is true for the joy he brings. It's not short-term or a one-off. For the Christian person, Jesus always thrills us. When we reflect on who he is, that God himself comes down from heaven to offer us peace with himself so that we can experience life as he intended. To accept all of this in light of the fact that we are undeserving of it, that this is offered to people who have been against God and how they live, makes the gift he offers even more remarkable. Every time we reflect on it, we are thrilled. And so we have hope always. We are now and forever at peace with God, and we can have joy in God always. Because Jesus is our hope. He is our peace, and he is our joy. In the book of John, in chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus himself tells us why he came. Why did he come that first Christmas? For what purpose? Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and life in all its fullness. What Jesus comes and offers is not fleeting. It's not something that we can get in any other way apart from him. But we get true life when we live in union with God. So let me say in closing then, that if you would take on Jesus, if you would center your life around him, if you would be united to him, if you would make him your savior, even in all of your weariness, you will have hope and joy and peace. Now, honestly, it is not automatically. If you come to Jesus, it is not going to automatically rid the world of coronavirus or of any number of other complaints and struggles and suffering you may have. But where we are weary, we have hope. Because we know that one day God will make all things right for those who love him. One day trials, all trials will end. We have hope of peace with God, and we have hope that is not based on us, doesn't depend on us, but on Jesus who came at Christmas. And for those who come to him and who accept him, there is joy now and always. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That means to be at peace with God. The greatest burden, the thing that wearies us most, is to not be at peace with God. And so to anyone who comes to him today, who by believing in him will turn away from living their own way and instead turn to give their life to Jesus as they love and follow him, they have hope because they will be at peace with God and joy will be yours now and always. And so with the coming of Jesus, hope has come. Peace has come and joy has come. Peace has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. And his name is Jesus. Amen.